Page 217, if you've lost your place. Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'm going to begin in verse number 19. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall stretch us out the land, and bring us word again by which way we may go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain, and came into the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are great, is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where there thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye believed not the Lord your God. Our text verse is verse 32. Yet in this thing ye believed not the Lord our God. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, do you believe God? Now let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings we've had in this service this morning, the sweet fellowship and the good music, and our hearts are now prepared for the preaching of your word. And I pray, Lord, you'll keep the folks' minds from wondering about maybe activities they have planned later on and concentrate on the preaching of your word. I pray you'll bind Satan from our mind and from our midst and keep him away from the service this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll have freedom. And I pray that if there's one here without Christ, that they might receive him. Other needs to be met through this music and our singing and our fellowship and now the preaching of your word. I ask you might fill me with thy power to preach your word. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God had given his people the promised land. All they had to do was go in and possess it. It was theirs. But they saw the giants in the land, and they turned around and turned away and retreated and were punished by God for 40 years as they wandered around in the wilderness. I want to say to you folks this morning that there are many a giant that stands in the way of Christians and will keep them from possessing the spiritual blessings that God meant for them to have, those of us who know him. There are still giants in the land. When the spies came back, they said, why, the villages are walled and fortified. There are great multitudes of people in that land. A long time before this, God had told Abraham that there were seven nations already in the land, but he was going to give it to them anyway. He told Abraham, you shall drive them out and fear no man, for no man can stand against you. But when the people saw the giants in the land, they said, we cannot take this land. Now what they and all of us should remember is what the Bible says back in Genesis 18. Keep your finger there in Deuteronomy and go back to Genesis, first book of the Bible, the 18th chapter, page 28, Genesis chapter 18, and look at the first part of verse number 14. Genesis 18, 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Do you remember the occasion for that question? The angel of the Lord came and appeared to Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was 100 years old and his wife Sarah was 90. God told this couple that was long past childbearing age, I'm going to give you a son through whom the whole world is going to be blessed. The whole world would be blessed because through this lineage, one day Jesus Christ would come into the world. So here's a man 100 years old, his wife is 90, and God is saying, I will still make my promise good. And the angel said to them, is anything too hard for the Lord? Listen, dear folks, there is many a Christian that expects the Christian life to be easy, and it is not. It's beautiful, it's happy, it's glorious, it's victorious, but there are giants in the land. Let's look at some of these giants this morning. First, there's the giant difficulty in the Christian life. Turn with me back to the New Testament, keeping something in Deuteronomy, to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew's Gospel, the 17th chapter, page 1022 and 1023. When our Lord, along with Peter, James, and John, came down from their tremendous experience on the Mount of Transfiguration, that's when the Lord was transfigured before them, and they saw him in all of his glory, as we will one day. The first thing they saw was a distraught father with a demon-possessed son wallowing in the gravel and foaming at the mouth, and the other disciples looking on and unable to do anything about the situation. Pick it up with me in verse number 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and off into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, this is very important, these next few words, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. There are just some hard cases that going to take a little bit more than just prayer. It's going to take prayer and fasting. Dear folks, there is never a difficulty that God cannot overcome for a believer, but there's too many Christians today, they're quitters. They quit when the going gets a little rough. Sometimes they quit just before the victory is about to come. They quit when it takes the power of God. They quit when a miracle is needed. Sure, there are giants in the land. There always has been. But in difficult times and difficult cases, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Then there's a giant of doubt. Satan is the master of skepticism. He knows how to work on our minds just to get us to doubt. He will cause the Christian to doubt his salvation. And when a believer doubts his salvation, he's calling God a liar and saying the Bible is not true. Turn with me to John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, please. John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, page 1121 in your Scofield Bible. John chapter 5. Our Lord is speaking, and notice what he says in verse number 24. John 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. When the old devil comes to you and he says, how do you know you're saved? How can you be saved when you curse today? How can you be saved when you have those lustful thoughts that you're having? How can you be saved when you told that lie? How can you be saved when you're not gossiped about a neighbor? How can you say you're saved when you fail to read the Bible and spend time in prayer? Just how can you be saved? When the devil comes to you and he asks those questions, just quote him from some verses out of the Bible and tell him, you know that you are not perfect, but the one who died in your place and paid your sin debt for you is perfect. The Holy Spirit had the Apostle John write in one of his little epistles some words about eternal security. So you never, ever need doubt your salvation. Let's look at one of them. Go back to the end of the Bible to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, page 1325. 1 John chapter 5. And look at that great salvation verse, eternal security verse, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, K-N-O-W, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Never depend upon your feelings when it comes to salvation. They're going to change. Every day, your feelings are going to change. Instead, depend upon what the Bible says, because the Bible never changes. Now, I thank God for good feelings. He gives us good feelings concerning our salvation. There are times in my life when I feel like I'm a child of the King. There are blessed times when I feel like I'm riding in the chariots of the King. There are times when I feel like Christ's royal blood is flowing through my veins. And I thank God for all of those times of good feelings. But it's not the feelings that give me the assurance of my salvation. It's the Word of God. The giant of doubt. Don't let doubts fill your mind and take away your peace. Then there's the giant of depression. Oh, how this giant gets us down oftentimes. There are so many things in our lives and in this world today that can cause us to be depressed. There are times when I get to thinking, I'm going to have to spend the rest of my natural life with only one good eye. And then my eye doctor says that there's a cataract on the other, on the good eye, and it's going to have to be taken care of. But I quickly get my mind off of these things, and I thank God for one good eye. And I get to thinking about all of our people in our church who are suffering so much, and I just pause and stop and pray for them. And when I pray for them, I soon get the victory over the giant of depression, getting my mind off of me and putting my mind onto others. Have you ever thought about this? That our Lord, when he took upon himself human flesh, was depressed. I can prove that to you. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. That's toward the end of the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 4, page number 1294. Hebrews chapter 4, page 1294. And look with me at verse number 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in how many? All points tempted like as we are. Can you imagine our precious, holy, sinless Lord being tempted in all of the things that you and I are tempted with? But it says he is, and unlike us, yet without sin. I think our Lord was depressed that night in the Garden of Gethsemane when his disciples all fell asleep. And that was a time when he needed them the most to stay awake and encourage him. He was so depressed that he cried out to his heavenly Father, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." The greatest men and women of God through the past 6,000 years of human history have gone through times of depression. If I were to ask all of you folks this morning, have you ever had a time of depression? Every one of you, if you were honest, you would admit that you have. In the spiritual realm of life, there's a giant called depression who stands before the child of God to keep him from having what God wants him to have. Turn with me in your Bibles now to the first of the Bible again, front of the Bible, to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, page number 414. 414 year King James Bible. I think of Elijah. I dearly love this Old Testament character. What a great man he was. I look forward to talking to him one day when I get to heaven. He was great in his life, and he was great in his death. He went to heaven without dying. But one day, Elijah did a very strange thing. He ran into the woods and lay down under a juniper tree and had a nervous breakdown. He said, "I might as well just die. I have had it." Have you ever said that? I have just had it. For 3.5 years during the drought, he stood like a giant of God. And then old Jezebel sends him a message. And she said, "Before tomorrow night comes, I'll have your head cut off." So he ran into the woods, got down under a juniper tree, and literally prayed to die. Do you know why? Because the old giant of depression can defeat a child of God. Look at me in 1 Kings 19, beginning in verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Now, here's a beautiful thing. As Elijah lay under the juniper tree, wishing to die, an angel came to him. Look at verse 5 again. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. How would you like to be awakened by an angel? I can relate to that. Every morning when my sweet wife comes in and very gently says, Honey, it's time to get up. Most of you know we went to Branson, eight of us, this past week. And we had a great time. But you get to know people when you spend them in the same van. We were all in the same van, all eight of us. About 10 hours going down, 3 days there, over 10 hours coming back. You get to know some people. And they're shaking in their boots right now thinking, I'm going to share some things. But somebody says, what happens in Branson stays in Branson. But Jay was telling me about how his little angel, Dina, wakes him up every morning. And he says that after he has hit the snooze button 3 times, she comes in and throws the covers back and says, Get out of bed, you lazy good-for-nothing husband. Now, it may not be exactly like that, but it's pretty close. So this angel came and awakened Elijah, and he looked and he saw food to eat and water to drink and a coal of fires. He ate the food, drank the water, and God gave him strength to go on for 40 days. But he went back to sleep. And now when you get depressed, God will send an angel to give you strength to carry on your duties and get you out of that state of being down in the dumps. Amen. Then there's another giant, the giant of delay. I wonder how many people are going to spend eternity in hell because of delay of putting off coming to Christ. Could you be one of them? You have put off salvation? Well, it's time not to put it off any longer. It's time to get things straightened out. Time is running out on us. Then many Christians lose the blessings of God because of procrastination. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3, please. Hebrews towards the end of the New Testament, the third chapter. Be on page 1293, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Hebrews 3, verses 7 and 8, page 1293. Verse 7, Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. If that Holy Spirit is speaking to you today and saying you need to get saved, you need to trust Christ, or maybe something else he's saying to you. God said, this day, listen to me and not to the giant of delay. Is he saying that to some of you this morning? Then there's the giant of disillusion. A lot of people are living in an unreal world today. Go back to your left from Hebrews to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, page 1332 and 1333. Verse number 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We live in a temporary world, a troubled world. But one day, this world is going to become an eternal world, a world that's never, ever going to come to an end. Now, in order to become a citizen of that eternal world where God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit live, the Bible says you have to be born again. Jesus said so. Let's look at those verses. Back up to John chapter 3, if you would, please. John's Gospel, the third chapter. And you'll find that on page 1117 of your Scofield Bible. John's Gospel, the third chapter, very familiar verses to most of us. Beginning in verse number 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, speaking of the physical birth, and of the Spirit, speaking of the spiritual birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Have you been born again? Well, I don't know what it means, you say. Here's what it means. It means by putting your complete trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You must believe that he was a sinless Savior, that he came into this world through a virgin birth. He lived a perfect sinless life that none of us can live. He allowed himself to be crucified on an old rugged cross, and on that cross he paid our sin debt and shed his precious blood for us. He died on that cross. He was taken down. He was buried. 3 days later, he arose from the dead. He ascended back up into heaven where he makes intercession for us today. And one day soon, he's coming back again. Now, if you believe that, there's one more step to take, and that is you must receive him. But as many as received him, to them and only to them gave he the right or the power or the authority to become sons and daughters of God. If you've never received him, I encourage you, do so this morning. Let's bow in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, there are many giants in our land that get us down, cause us to be unhappy, confused, discouraged, and have doubts. And Lord, we want to overcome these giants, and we can through our precious Savior. I don't know what giants these folks out here sitting have on in their hearts and on their minds today. I'm sure a bunch of them have some giants there that's troubling them. I pray you'll give them peace and victory over those giants. I pray you bless the invitation. Save those who may be lost. Reclaim those who may be backslidden. Help folks to make decisions this morning that 100 years from now they'll be glad that they made. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please? It's without apology. We give an open invitation on Sundays. If you're not sure you're saved, if you'll come down here at the front and let me know, we can take care of that. It won't take but just a few minutes. Some of you may need to just use this altar. I don't know what your need is this morning. But you do what the Lord tells you to do as we sing a couple of stanzas of an invitational verse together, please.